Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Pat's birthday. It's in 2 days. Yay! I'm going to be older.
Two.
Hi, everyone.
It'll be 25.
I'll be through again. This is the CU podcast for May 7th, Tuesday. Wow, it's already May, 2019, alongside Ian Ferguson. I'm your party host as well, Pat Contry. We'll be talking about lots of fun stuff like the Spider-Man trailer, Far From Home, Riot Games having an employee walkout, Sonic the Hedgehog movie update, Epic Games acquires Psyonix, our local nice huge indie game developer.
Yes,
they're like 10 minutes away. Randy Pitchford meltdown, that's fun, and more. Q&A, maybe a Patreon poll topic. Ian, do you have Avani's birthday present that she said for you to give to me?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. I had to run out of the house this morning and I forgot.
You know what would have been a great birthday present? My Bloodsport shirt would have been fantastic if you wrapped up them in such a good little heartwarming moment for the podcast. My shirt you've had for now 2 years.
Yep.
That would have been heartwarming.
Would have been.
Are you wearing them both at least like equal times? You're like, so you're not wearing one out more than the other? Are you
turning most likely, yeah.
Are you turning them inside out when you put them in the washer?
Oh, we always inside out and we hang dry.
So you don't ruin my shirt?
No, we hang dry.
You know my shirt's on loan. It's like a loaner right now.
Yep.
Okay.
It's like a beater.
Is this something you can hold over me, like, for the rest of our lives, that you have my shirt?
Yes.
It's
my one bargaining chip.
This gives you the chubby. This is your leverage on the podcast.
This is it.
When we negotiate. Like, well, Pat, you don't want anything happening to that Bloodsport shirt, do you? I'll be like, you're right, Ian. You get all the monies.
I'll throw it on high.
For
3 hours.
Oh, in the dryer, you're gonna threaten. It'll be a schmedium.
Yes, it'll be a schmedium.
It'll be a schmedium. I swear those schmediums to work. Back when in my mid twenties, God, that was a mistake. Oh man, I won't get into now my office life. I really never talk about that much, but it was interesting how people thought about me in like my mid twenties, like 25, 26, 27. It was interesting. I was like just coming off the metrosexual days a little bit. So didn't help.
I see.
For how people thought about me, men and women.
They had the real tight.
Oh, I had the tight.
The real tight haircut.
tight and cropped. Yep. That's right.
High and tight.
High and tight. That's what it is. Yeah. Could have been in the military. At that point, no, it wasn't super short. It was like how it was when I first moved here.
Yeah.
You know, it's like. This suits me better.
I mean, it's exaggeration.
This suits me better. I look younger with the full head of hair, I think, anyway. What was I going to say? So, birthday's coming up. I have nothing really planned. I think a couple of friends separately want to take me out to dinner. Someone wanted me to go somewhere on a trip. I'm like, I can't go away for a week. There's too much going on. I got to work on the Super Nintendo book. The NES book should be finalized for the reprint, so that's good. Super Nintendo book, I'm putting in overtime. Fighting crime. That's a mass theme. So that hopefully will go to print hopefully later in May, and then it'll still ship sometime in July. That's the goal. So I'm not, even though it's a little behind, I'm still on track, kind of. It won't be 6 months behind like the NES, but it was, that's for sure. That's good. And then what else is going on? Anything else in your life besides it's good that you got a new appliance, but it's bad that they didn't do it right.
Yeah, well, we're trying to get a lot of things fixed in the apartment, and they're dragging their feet on it. But, hey, that's landlords. Other than that, I made a pitcher of grape Kool-Aid yesterday. Best expenditure of empty calories that I can think of. Very good.
You just thought, I'm just going to go in the supermarket and buy some Kool-Aid.
Yeah, that's actually what happened. I walked by, and I was like, hey, grape Kool-Aid, I'm going to buy some of that and make it. And it worked out well for me.
My parents never used to buy Kool-Aid. It was, I guess, it was somehow too expensive Kool-Aid. I don't remember Kool-Aid being expensive, but they never bought it for us.
No, it's not. It was like,
okay. Well, my,
it was like 20, 15 cents a package.
Well, my mom must have worked it down her head and bought us the juicy juice instead. which was probably worse for you, to be honest.
And more expensive.
Yeah, I don't know. My mom used to buy stuff only on sale. So we got, like, you get Hawaiian Punch week one. Week two, you get Juicy Juice. Week three, you get, like, whatever apple juice was on sale. It wasn't a consistent diet of awful drinks.
It would just follow the circulars.
Yes. Yes, that's how my mom bought us food.
That's how my mom bought us food, too.
But, like, every once in a while, you know, you finally get the one thing you asked for, like, 3 months ago.
Yeah.
That you saw on TV or what have you. And then, oh, it was like the perfect moment of there was a coupon for it and it was on sale. So my mom would like work out. This is why I'm crazy with working out deals. My mom like perfected it. But then you wouldn't get that item again for like 3 years. So don't get used to that good thing you liked because you got to wait for the next cycle for the next red moon, yeah. Red blood moon for it to come on sale and there'd be a coupon for it. So you like reduce the cost by 75%.
Yeah, anytime you
that's a great way to live, Mom.
Anytime you saw something name brand, it was like, oh, this is a once a year thing.
Yeah,
the only things name brand we ever really bought in the house when I was younger was my dad loved Pop Tarts, so name brand Pop Tarts about once a month. And
I didn't know there was off brand Pop Tarts.
Oh yeah, there's off brand Pop Tarts.
There was that strudel thing,
and my dad.
Toaster strudels.
Those are delicious.
They're great for kids to have that in the morning.
Yeah.
Why don't you have a cake for breakfast? Basically what you're doing.
Actually, the cake is probably healthier. I mean, toaster strudels, it's like they're frozen.
It's when you put the stuff on the package.
Yeah, put the cheese sauce on the top.
It's basically cheese sauce. Yeah, it might as well be cheese sauce, nacho sauce.
But they come out.
It's pure sugar.
I love toaster strudels.
It's pure jelly sugar.
But they come out of the toaster oven greasy. Like,
yes. The fat baked in, yeah. And then you're putting the sugar on top. Okay, go to school. How did you think that was a healthy breakfast, Mom and Dad?
Can you even buy toaster strudels anymore?
It should be illegal, I think. Because Pop-Tarts are like, those are bad.
Yeah.
Toaster strudels were like up to the next level. We'll just have it lard infused with the jelly packet on the side.
Flaky crust.
And you wonder why we have an obesity epidemic in the U.S. It starts when you're small. I'm not saying, parents, that you had to like look out for every meal, but don't let me eat toaster strudel. I'm not sure I even asked for it, Ian. I think my mom just bought it because it was on sale.
It's something you put in the toaster. It's a strudel. It must be healthier.
Yeah, it's healthier than... You know what? There was always this bad rap against eggs and bacon back in the day. Like, it was so awful.
Oh, you weren't supposed to touch
eggs are going
to
kill you. Bacon's going to kill you. You know what's going to kill you? Toaster strudel is going to fucking kill you. That's what's going to kill you. Bacon and eggs won't make me a diabetic. Toaster strudel will.
Eggs make the world go around, man.
I think there's always, like, PR battles.
Food.
There's always PR battles between, like... These different, like the milk industry and the egg people, the egg union, if you want to call them. And seriously, there has to be, because it's always every 5 years they try to get these studies coming out like, oh, you're only going to have eggs once a week. It was something like that. But there was always something going on like that. Well, you should have more carbs than protein and fat, which is now known as bullshit.
Shit, yeah.
That you need just as much protein as carbs, if not more. So there's always, I think there's like all these food battles going on behind the scenes. The whole fucking food pyramid is a crock of shit.
Oh, yeah.
But someone pushed that.
That's just a scheme. That was just...
Someone paid off someone in our government to push it on kids.
Big grain.
Because we learned that... No, but we learned that in school.
Yeah.
That, oh, you should have the most carbs. No, you shouldn't. Sorry, this is coming a health podcast now. Like, no, most people shouldn't have more carbs than
fat. I mean, maybe
fat
in 1850 when all we were doing was working on...
Yeah, when everyone was a farmer.
Yeah.
And burning it off.
Yeah, exactly. But no one's a farmer
anymore. You always have some bread in your back pocket in the fields and gnawing on it. Humans didn't eat a bunch of grains for most of their food throughout our evolution. Now we're going off on a tangent. It's coming another podcast.
It's fine.
But we decided we had to have cereal every fucking day of our lives. What was I talking about? Oh, Spider-Man Far From Home.
Oh, okay.
All right. So Spider-Man Far From Home is supposed to kick off. Spoilers, right after Avengers Endgame. It's been like a week and a half. You had to see it by now. And so it deals with the ramifications of the snapback. Everyone's back. And so Nick Fury and Maria Hill are there. Peter goes on vacation. And then it's revealed. The biggest thing about the revelation was that I guess it's with the new snap. I was halfway off with my theory, but it sounds like the new snap made a multiverse. They kind of come out straight out and say it. We have a multiverse. So Mysterio, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, who was originally going to be Tobey Maguire's replacement in Spider-Man 2, because Tobey Maguire hurt his back filming Seabiscuit. He almost couldn't do the movie. Now he's in a Spider-Man movie, like 15 years later, playing Mysterio, which is an old-school, geeky Spider-Man villain. But now it's framed that he's a hero in his own multiverse, in his own dimension, and somehow came into ours. So, like, he's been hired with Spider-Man along with S.H.I.E.L.D. to fight these elemental monsters, like you see in the first trailer, like the fire and water creatures and stuff. So it's a weird sort of way to do Mysterio, but Mysterio is also like a con artist.
Yeah.
And he's also, you know, a guy who makes shit up. That's part of his nature and illusion. So it'd be interesting to see where they take it, but I do like the fact that they're finally doing a character like Mysterio. I'm still waiting for someone like Kraven, but Mysterio is someone that's a decent character that maybe cannot carry the whole movie himself, but he can be thrown in the mix.
Sure.
You know. But what I don't like about the trailer? I tweeted about it. I hate the fact that Spider-Man's still using Iron Man tech. He's mini Iron Man.
Oh, is he using Iron Man tech?
He's still using the Iron Spider costume. And in the first scene, it shows him fighting, you know, like he's the first probably 10 minutes with him fighting some robbers or something. And the fucking blades come out, whatever, blade leg things come out to help him fight. And I'm just like, I don't get why you need this. He is Spider-Man. His powers are incredible on their face. He is agile enough and quick enough with the spider sense to dodge gunfire. You don't need the suit to help him. It takes away from his own unique traits. And that's what I was trying to explain to people on Twitter. And people were like, well, Pat, we've seen that version of Spider-Man before in other movies and all the comics. It's like, yes, because that's the core Spider-Man. You understand? The spider sense and his reflexes and his webs, that's who Spider-Man is. Mini Stark is not Spider-Man. That's not who Spider-Man has been for the first like 50 fucking years of his character. And I'm not sure why I'm getting blowback on this. To me, it'd be like, okay, we're going to do our Punisher, but instead of him having machine guns, he's got a nightstick and he's got a taser. To me, that's just as weird. You see, it doesn't speak to the core of the character. You can do Punisher taking out villains with a nightstick and a taser, but it's not the Punisher deep down. Is it really? Is it really? We can have Captain America, but we'll give him a long sword. It's like, okay, he could still be Captain America, but he's not really the core character anymore. You might like the long sword, Captain America. I don't know.
That might be fun.
That might be fun, or give him a fencing foil.
Ooh, yeah, that would be good.
And then also in the trailer, it's like no one, the secret identity thing, it doesn't matter at all, I guess, in the MCU, because MJ in the trailer says, oh yeah, I know you're Spider-Man. I'm just like, so it's not a secret to anyone anymore.
Well, that would be my nitpick, is simply that there should, I mean, we need secret identities at some point.
The whole thing about Spider-Man, how it was such
especially for Spider-Man, it was such
a huge deal in the Civil War when Tony, whatever, brainwashed Peter to reveal his identity, is because he was trying to protect his family. And the theory was, is if people know who I am, they will come after my family. They'll come after Aunt May and my friends. And they would.
Yep.
To use as leverage or to attack him. Hell, that's what they did in all fucking three Spider-Man movies, which I hate, is they had Mary Jane get kidnapped in all three fucking movies. Because somehow the villain found out that Mary Jane was connected to Spider-Man and right. Peter. So it's a lazy thing to do. It makes it too easy, but it's more realistic to have someone want to keep their identity a secret. I understand in the MCU, though, that's kind of thrown out the window. So it's just been the combination of things. I'm not liking this direction of the character. I'm just not. And I know I've joked about the, oh, gee, Mr. Stark, can I rub your toes for you? Peter Parker, we're seeing, and having Tony as a father figure. I get that. At some point, though, you have to reference, I know we've seen the Uncle Ben origin twice with the first two tries. You have to at least reference that Uncle Ben was someone important to Peter at some point in the MCU, though, because that's also core to the character. And they do reference it slightly in Civil War when they introduce it. Like, yeah, I didn't do something I was supposed to do. Something bad happened. But Uncle Ben's name hasn't even, I think, been uttered once in the first Spider-Man movie or in the MCU at all, which I thought was just at least got to bring up the guy once. You don't have to show the flashback, but at least bring him up.
I wonder, you know, if this has anything to do with the deal between Fox and Marvel.
Yeah, and that's the other thing about the multiverse, was that I think it was like a co-agreement, because Sony is going awfully full steam ahead with a Venom sequel. Venom made enough money. They're definitely doing the Morbius movie with Jared Leto playing Morbius.
They're doing a Venom sequel? I did not know that.
But more importantly, they're doing a fucking Morbius movie. The Living Vampire.
Okay.
A C minus Marvel hero, anti-hero, whatever you want to call him. And then they're doing others. So they're finally going to do their own little Spider-Man movie thing, besides Into the Spider-Verse, which is an animated, so that can be on its own. But they're using, I think Marvel is smartly using this multiverse way to say, these other shitty Spider-Man movies don't have anything to do with us, and they can exist in their own dimension.
Sure, that makes sense.
But except that Spider-Man exists in kind of both.
Sure.
But then again, Spider-Man wasn't in the Venom movie. So either way, I think they're covering their bases, Disney and / Marvel, with this bullshit that they can't prevent Sony from doing these other awful fucking movies. If Morbius makes any money, I'll be shocked. Like, yeah. Venom, yeah. Venom was popular, 20 years ago. I can see that. Was Morbius ever a thing? Ever?
Not to my knowledge.
Was there ever Morbius shirts in Hot Topic I'm not aware of? I have a Venom shirt from when I was like 13. I have one. I don't remember ever those big Morbius arcs in the 90s. I don't remember them. They didn't happen. They didn't.
I don't recall them either, but I was not paying attention. Maybe he'll lose his Iron Man suit halfway through the movie.
Well, people were like, well, Pat, we got that version of Spider-Man at the end of Homecoming when he did his homemade suit. I'm like, yeah, that was for like 10 minutes of the movie, and then he went right back to the Iron Spider in the two Avengers movies, which I get. And then the other argument I saw was, well, he can't be fighting with just a regular suit against Thanos. What does Star-Lord have? A fucking leather jacket and jeans on. Yeah. What does Nebula have? A jumpsuit. Captain America has a regular suit with maybe a little bit of chainmail or whatever. I don't think this version even... So it's like, that's not even an argument anymore. Like, everyone...
Yeah, I don't think the chainmail ever made it into...
Scarlet Witch has a cool leather jacket on.
Yeah,
you know, like... It. Is it a leather jacket? Like a long trench coat?
Like a leatherette, yeah.
Yeah, that's not how we look at these movies. That's not, like, what they're wearing versus the armor. Like, the only one armored up is War Machine and Iron Man. They're the only one who have real armor on them.
Because that's their gimmick.
Yeah. So that's not an excuse. That's weird. That's weird to me. And Doctor Strange just has a fucking cloak, so he can get punched out.
It's
like
a
anyone
magic
else.
Cloak.
It's a magic cloak.
Yes,
but I mean he doesn't have like Under Armour on. He doesn't have like briefs on that are magical that protect them.
We don't know actually.
We don't know that.
We don't know.
Well, they are going to do a Doctor Strange too. So anyway, so the name thing, the fact that there's home in both names is kind of weird to me too. But I don't. That just seems like just something strange. This is a bad title to a movie. Far From Home is just a bad title.
Actually, I don't mind the title.
I just think it's weird. So, I mean, is Home going to be in the third one? Returning Home. He's back in Queens for the third movie? Like,
Home Improvement.
Home Improvement?
Home Renovation.
He has to do up Aunt May's apartment after the lizard runs through it and wrecks it.
Yeah.
You know? Can I get Kraven in a movie? Just put Kraven in a movie. Trying to find the lizard. We just got the lizard, though. They did the lizard in Amazing Spider-Man. Which wasn't terrible, but I'm sorry. I'm depressed about stuff.
I want Sandman.
You want Sandman?
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of depressed, it's not depressed. I found your gummy.
Oh, okay.
I found the Ian gummy.
All right.
The Remedy Plus OG Peach Rings. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
OG Peach Rings?
Uh-huh.
For medical use only. So Ian gave this to me last year. I don't think it was like February, March, when I was in a pretty damn like bad state.
Yep.
Not that I'm in a great state now, but I was in a terrible state then. And I held on to it for a special occasion. I almost took it like yesterday. I think I should have. And I think I will take one before the podcast. Not in this one, but I'll do one in the future. Ian's looking like, holy shit, that's going to be weird.
It'll be fun.
I will be talking like this. Most likely.
I mean, until you figure out the amount that you should have, you might feel heavy in the head.
Does it take like a half hour to kick in? It
takes about an hour and a half to kick in.
Hour and a half to digest.
That's how people screw up on
digestion. They keep taking it more?
They're like, it's not working. It's like, no, it takes about an hour and a half to kick in.
The digestive,
yeah.
Okay, so one pod...
That's 20 milligrams.
So may I take a quarter before an hour and a half before the podcast when I get up?
Try a quarter.
And we'll
go from there. 5 milligrams is going to be a walk in the park.
This is the topic that I
walk in the park.
Am I talking like this?
No, you're not.
I'm not going to be talking like this. All right. Yeah, my birthday's coming up. Thanks, Ian, for the presents.
Yep.
Anything else, Dan? I feel like I've been dominating this intro.
That's fine. It's all right.
You want to take this off? I'll just do this on my own. The rest of it?
No.
Just like that 5 month stretch where I was miserable.
Nope.
Right after my book came out. You know how hard it is to talk about video games for 2 hours by yourself? How fucking miserable it is?
Especially when you don't play them.
I played some of
them. Oh! Anyways, yeah, I imagine it would have been a pain in the ass.
Wow, that's sympathy. from Ian right there. Wow. Holy shit. Okay. Ian!
Yes, Patrick.
There's been in the news the past few months via some stories from Kotaku and otherwise about...
Riot Games?
About the... There's been a push to potentially unionize video game dev workers at AAA studios like EA and others. Whether or not it gets off the ground, we'll see. But there's been a movement, Ian, recently.
Sure. There has been. Although this... Riot Games, 150 employees walked out yesterday to protest forced arbitration and sexist culture. This is not so much about unionization, although unionization would be a preferable outcome of this. But basically, 5 months after Kotaku did an expose on the culture of like sexual harassment at Riot Games... There's still people in power. The two of the main people who were called out, one had a 2-month leave, and the other one didn't. They're still working there, so employees are feeling upset.
Who was called out? Was like the president or CEO?
The COO and the other one. I'm not.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Let me find the original article.
So, 150 people walked out to kind of end this force, or to try to end this forced arbitration. What happened was this: lawsuits were brought.
Okay, that article is from August last year, Inside the Culture of Sexism at Riot Games, by Cecilia D'Anastasio. This won an award, by the way.
Yeah. So multiple lawsuits were brought against Riot.
Okay.
Riot has filed to block two of those lawsuits.
Okay.
Based on and force them into arbitration. So the cases won't go in front of a jury is essentially what'll happen.
Are these class action suits or just individual
suits?
They're
individual suits.
Okay.
They're individual suits. And two of them will not go in front of a jury, at least as of right now. That's what they're trying to stop. So 150 employees walked out in protest. Riot has said, I believe as of last week when they were started to hear about this walkout, that they would give all new employees a chance to opt out of arbitration.
Okay.
To opt out of forced arbitration. But that does not extend back to older employees, at least right now. They said they will look into it. And it will not count for anything that's currently... It won't count towards any current litigation. So anything that's currently in the courts will not... Those people will not be... they still have to deal with the forced arbitration.
So the forced arbitration is, I guess, when you're hired as a contractor or a salaried employee, you sign something saying that you can't bring a lawsuit directly against you. It has to go to a third party to decide.
Correct.
So then your hands are more tied as an individual at that point. It also prevents potentially a class action lawsuit. That's pretty much, from a business perspective, it sort of limits your liability, but then obviously the workers have less power.
Right.
That's what it comes down to.
It doesn't look particularly great either. Google actually had a similar thing a few months back, I believe. It was like 20,000 walked out. It was something insane. And Google did respond to it. They ended forced arbitration, but only for sexual harassment lawsuits.
Okay.
Now, that's a start, and that's where the forced arbitration is coming into play here, is for sexual harassment lawsuits. I'm not a fan of forced arbitration in any way, shape, or means, but I do think, especially for sexual harassment, it severely limits the employee's ability to fight it.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been involved with any sort of arbitration. I don't know how the third party gets involved or, you know, who's chosen. I have no idea how this works. If it's internal, obviously that's trouble. If it's someone that the company hires to do the arbitration, like, I have no idea. It just sounds, again, it's to protect the company, but yeah, it just sounds weird to have this set up, to even have that in place in an agreement. I don't think I've ever worked for a company where that was a thing. You know,
it sounds slimy. It sounds like we know there's going to be problems, or this is a workforce that has these sorts of issues, and we don't want to have to deal with this. So they're looking for the easier way out preemptively to avoid these issues.
So today's, this is from the article. It says, today's protests appear to be the first here be the first. Don't call me during my podcast. That was a random number. Today's protest appears to be the first labor-related walkout for a large game studio like Riot. The company's management is allowing its employees to participate. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. And has urged managers to be accommodating and understanding. In an email to Kotaku this morning, a Riot representative added, "We respect rioters." That's what they call their employees. That's funny. "We respect rioters who choose to walk out today."
I hate pet names for fucking employees or fans. YouTubers that give their fucking fans names. All that shit.
We never came up with one. "We respect rioters who choose to walk out today and will not tolerate retaliation of any kind as a result of participating." So they're like, we're on board with this, at least in some capacity. That's interesting.
It also worries me, if they're okay with it, then what's the strength of doing it other than the show of solidarity?
Well, it shows that the employees are like, we're fed up, we think this is bullshit, but maybe now they're starting to come around, so they're on the same page, at least a little bit.
I hope so. I just hope that to me, there's also a way that could mean they don't care.
So five current and four employees sued the company in part for violating California's Equal Pay Act. Last week, Riot filed a motion to force two of those employees in arbitration. Okay. So the one you referenced, Google, was 20,000 Google employees. What that? Holy shit. 20,000.
Yeah, I thought my number was wrong.
What
but
the hell?
You just confirmed it.
That's okay. That's a mob in a stadium. That's a football match in England. Holy shit.
That's a sporting crowd.
20,000. I can't imagine working in a company that has that many people in one building. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Wow. The corporate, I don't miss the corporate world, obviously. Not at all. So yeah, like you said, new employees can opt out of forced arbitration for harassment suits. And we'll consider extending that to current employees as soon as current litigation is resolved. So it sounds like at least this is coming to an amicable end, which is good.
I hope. I guess maybe I don't have any faith in these companies to actually respond to this shit anymore.
Well, they are, though.
Yeah. Well,
because I know it's bad PR. Plus, you want to keep employees happy.
Yeah.
And you want to do the right thing. I mean, we're at a point where more and more, this isn't like the 70s or 80s where you can get away with blatant sexual harassment and blatant discrimination. But these are safeguards, at least, if you get rid of the forced arbitration, where now the company's really on the, they can really be threatened. And that's really what I talk about when you talk about discrimination, is that the reason discrimination doesn't happen as much is because these safeguards are in place. You can sue. And companies, at least the companies I worked at, are deathly afraid of doing anything even that could be slightly looking discriminatory. I mean, when you interview someone, you had to be... I interviewed people. Like, mm-hmm. I was involved with hiring people. You have to be so careful about what you say, over the top careful about things you say. You are trained that you cannot ask certain questions. You cannot even ask, what are your hobbies? You're not even allowed to do that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, to that point where you don't want to give a potential person any potential ammo to say, well, this is why you didn't hire me. So... it sounds like in some of these video game companies, they're a little bit behind the curve, maybe still for some reason. And some companies in general probably are. But a good company has this stuff squared away with a good HR, where they're like, you know, you can't do this shit because we don't want to be sued. That's the protection, you know. So, and there's obviously this speaks to a larger talk about unionization potentially in the video game industry. I mean, even haven't tackled that head on. It's a pretty complicated subject, and that might vary from company to company how that would work in terms of a union for the entire industry. I don't potentially seeing that happen. It might be something that happens company to company with, like, you know, they work something out. I don't know. I don't know if you ever see EA having unionization in a company. I don't know if that's going to happen. We'll see. But this is something. This is positive at least.
It's a start. I just hope it will affect older employees and not just new employees.
Should I know what Riot Games does? What do they do?
League of Legends.
League of Legends. That's their main one.
Yes.
Why did I forget that? I don't know. I'm a big LOL fan. You know that.
Yeah. Well, we're also the MOBA podcast.
We're the official MOBA podcast as well.
So as of 9 p.m. last night, there was an announcement saying that if Riot management doesn't make any sort of commitment on forced arbitration by May 16th, which is the next Riot Unplugged meeting. So Riot Unplugged is their internal... It's their internal...
for all the rioters?
Yes. It's the internal employee meeting. They will... the other people behind the walkout will take further action.
Gotcha.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens. They also say that there's still an ongoing concern for retaliation, even though Riot says not to. We might face unforeseen consequences despite leadership's own commitments, because leadership is one entity and there are a lot of people at Riot.
Yeah, but now there's all these eyeballs on this. You know, they can't, they'd be stupid. It'd be suicide to have punitive action against these, any of these employees.
Well, I think they mean, I think they more mean just from like inter-work relationships and stuff like that.
Oh, well, that's a tougher issue, isn't it? Because there's always different personality clashes and things like that that can involve in inner. I fucking hate inner office politics. I could have a weekly topic almost on that. That would happen at my job with shit like that. It was awful. People are bad. People are awful in general, and they'll backstab and they have big egos. We have big egos, and we like to take credit for things we don't do. And
big eagles?
I wish I had a big eagle. But anyway, so yeah, working in a corporate structure is challenging for lots of different reasons. It's not like a TV show. You know, everyone's like, oh, everyone's happy towards each other. We're all on the same team. It's like, no, that's not. People have their own shit going on in their head and in their lives that comes into the office. And I like doing a podcast. I get around myself. It's better than working my old job. You saw how my old job affected me.
Yes, I did.
I was gray, as you said. I looked gray.
You did.
Said.
You had no color in your
face. I had no
color
in Pat's chubby German dimple-filled cheeks.
It was like watching you on an old TV. You were fuzzy, too.
1982
you were fading away. Yeah,
the signal was coming
your
in the rabbit ears.
The signal was not strong,
okay.
My friend.
All right, moving on.
So, here we go.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo.
What's the scenario? I should never recite rap lyrics. If Sonic the Hedgehog needs a makeover, he's going to get one. So Sonic is going to get redesigned after the trailer was released.
About a week ago. It was a week ago.
After months and months of people complaining about it, the trailer was released and it didn't look good. So,
the visual of Sonic was people had the most problem with.
Yeah.
The rest of the trailer, I don't think people had a huge issue with.
It's good. I mean, the rest of the trailer was like, hey, shitty video game movie. But, yeah. The look of Sonic has been a point of contention
since the leaked stuff, since the heavy cab movie posters back in the fall.
Yeah.
Or early in the year, whenever it was.
So, they've announced that they're going to redesign the look of Sonic.
The director tweeted it.
Yeah, the director tweeted that they're going to go through and they're going to make Sonic look better. We don't know how yet.
Thank you for the support and the criticism. The message is loud and clear. You aren't happy with the design and you want changes. It's going to happen. Everyone at Paramount and Sega are fully committed to making this character the best, in caps, the best he can be. Hashtag Sonic movie. Hashtag gotta fix fast. Wrench peace sign.
So, There's two ways to look at this. And I think both have merit. I'm usually not a middle of the road person with a lot of things. I usually tend to violently choose a side very quickly.
Which is also very rational to do that.
That's fine.
No nuance at all.
Centrism is a poison.
What?
Centrism is a poison. Anyways, so this is okay. Paramount should have long, long ago realized that this was a bad, bad idea.
Well, the leaked pictures, they should have known. And then the movie posters, people didn't. Well, they didn't show his face directly on those movie posters, but people didn't
That was a start. I mean, yeah, you got his curvy round calves and his shitty Nike shoes, and people are like, this does not look like it's going anywhere good.
So, when this stuff happens, there's layers of people that get involved with the decisions.
Yes.
The director doesn't always have the final say. I can guarantee you almost 95% of the director did not like this final.
Oh, probably hated it.
I can probably guarantee you he was fighting at least somewhat tooth and nail, but it was the studio heads saying, no, this is what we want. This is what we want. Whatever. It could be three people that might have played Sonic 20 years ago and just said this, or they might have been like, and gone over the top and said, like, well, he's got to look more human most he can. And the director might have said, well, that's not a good idea because we're going to piss people off. But he needed the ammo from the bad reaction from the trailer to come back to him.
Right.
And to say, see? The people that are most likely to see this movie don't like it. And then this is what we get. That's probably what happened since it was such a fast response. It happened like a couple days later.
But then,
or a day later.
But then you have to also look at the fans. Hopefully, this movie will be delayed so that the people who have to work on this, probably not, but it needs to be. Otherwise, the people who are working on it are going to be facing an incredible crunch.
Well, this is 6 months out. The good news and bad news is this. It's 6 months out. That's time to do stuff. We don't know what's finished and what's not. And obviously, there's a lot of probably parts of the movie where they don't have Sonic in them. There's going to be a lot of parts where Sonic is in there. And so they're going to have to do a lot of rework. And it's not just plug and play, you know, we'll change his face on one. It's like, no, they got to reanimate scenes, entire scenes.
Yeah, a lot of people out
especially
there...
Especially if his body changes, too, not just his facial structure and eye fucking... We need one single eye. Okay, you're going to get it, potentially, or something close to it. I don't think you're probably going to get it. You're probably going to get something closer where the eye meets, like...
Sure.
Or the bridge of the nose, or whatever.
You know, someone pointed it out to me, because I don't know how this stuff works. A lot of people were out, like, well, they just have to change the model. And it's like,
no,
it's well, not. No, you also have to change lighting and shadows. If they change, like, the body structure, like you said, lots of things need to be changed besides just a model.
This isn't a plug-in.
Right, exactly.
This is not how this stuff works.
So that's going to be really tough. And I do have to say, as much as I'm glad that, you know, a movie company is listening, I want to know how many of the people made a huge shit show about this are actually going to see the movie, or are they just armchair critics? And that's what bothers
that's
me.
That's my argument. This is a fucking Sonic movie.
I'm sorry. To those that got up, like, really, really up in their faces... Yeah. And were insulting. It goes back to the Diablo thing. Sit down and shut the fuck up. I don't care. It's not that big of a deal.
It's outrage over something that doesn't matter.
You don't need to be that outraged.
That was my point about it in the beginning. This is a Sonic the Hedgehog movie. It's going to be silly and frivolous no matter what. Andre's reaction to the trailer was perfect. He just laughed at the whole fucking thing, because the whole thing is insanely silly and stupid and dumb. And so, here's the good news. All the rework, those people are going to obviously get paid for the rework.
Yes.
They'll get paid the overtime for the crunch or whatever, they redo it. And from what I hear, they get paid good amount for their work. So that's fine in that end. To have a fucking Sonic movie come out the way everyone wants precisely, here's the horrific reality of situations like this, though. For all the money going back into this, these changes aren't going to bring that many more people into the theater.
That's what I'm trying to get
at.
There's lots of people who were out there bitching about it to an extreme, and I don't think they're the ones who are going to go see it. Vonnie saw it and goes, oh, that looks awful, but I don't know, it'll probably be weird, I'll go see it. And she's a huge Sonic fan.
Yeah.
I think a lot of Sonic, I mean, I think reasonable people who looked at that were like, well, we'll have a couple drinks before the movie. You know, or something like that.
You're gonna. This is gonna see the movie. The very, very hardcore Sonic fans will see it. Children, it'll probably be marketed to children to see it, and that's about it. That's your audience.
Because a lot
that's
of
it.
I swear, a lot of the people who are complaining about it and complaining the most, they're either not going to see it or they're going to see it anyway. There's nothing that this change is going to do.
This isn't centrism, by the way. This is rational thinking.
Centrism's a poison.
This is rational thinking.
Yes, I know. This is a different take. I'm just saying, like, I'm not... I saw lots of people taking sides oddly on this, that, oh, the fans have it right, and, oh, you know, this is stupid. You know, you fan... There's a middle of the road to this one. These higher-ups do need to look at the shit that they are making and realize that if there is a fan base that they are trying to appeal to, they should probably appeal to that fucking fan base.
Sure.
Otherwise, you're going to keep getting shit like this.
And it costs them money and all this rework. And potentially, they have to put out a new trailer now, and that's money and time to wash away this stink of this one more sooner than later. You know, like, this is a lot of money at stake that they should have obviously seen coming to this backlash. My argument is that... either way, you are going to make about the same amount of money.
Right. For all this backlash, for everything that's going to happen, the movie could still suck horribly.
You're going to have a lot of 6-year-olds and 4-year-olds see this movie that never fucking played a Sonic game before, don't care.
Yeah.
And just say, oh, look at the goofy blue thing. And they're not going to care that his eyes are plate size instead of saucer size. You know, like, they're not going to give a shit. The movies aren't for you 40-year-old Sonic fan, it's not for you. It's right. just, it isn't. Sorry, they want you to see it, but they're not making this for you. That's the harsh reality. That's not centrism. That's the harsh reality of business.
Well, if the quartering can't jack off to it, then everyone's got to go out and make some fucking noise.
All right. Anything else to add on this?
No.
All right. Moving on. All right. Epic Games. You know, Ian, we're the official Battle Royale podcast.
We are. So we've got some news.
All right. So Epic Games has acquired... Acquired Psyonix.
Yes.
Local boy does good, makes good.
Yeah.
Local indie developer who ends up putting out Rocket League and becoming a powerhouse gets bought out by arguably one of the biggest game devs now because of Fortnite, Epic Games. Who also made some money on Unreal Tournament, doesn't give a shit about it anymore. Okay, so this is big news.
Hey, Psyonix worked on Unreal Tournament 3 a little bit.
Yeah, before Epic Games, you know, that's the good news. Right? It was actually a good thing brought that up. That's the good news because maybe Psyonix get in there, and be like, you know what? Let's get in there and get. Yeah, we were about 10 minutes away from people that worked on Unreal Tournament. I forgot about that. Yep. I'm gonna go over and hug them.
No, they worked on Part 3.
There was Unreal Tournament 3.
Yes, there was.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah, I know. They worked on Part 3. That's what I'm saying. I didn't think you liked that one.
It was okay. By that point, I was getting older and I had worked too much, so. The big ones were original Unreal Tournament 99, huge. 2004, huge. They added Assault to that one. And the 2007 came out, and people were like, we don't like it as much. It's because it was more grounded. I didn't mind it, but people liked the more floaty shit. That's not the story, Ian. So Psyonix is
when did we ever talk about the story?
Psyonix is getting acquired, and it's not revealed for how much. It ain't a little amount of money for Rocket League, though.
No.
Rocket League is huge. Rocket League actually was... I didn't know this. It originally came out and they kind of re-released it with a different name. And then it went huge. I didn't know that about the Rocket
League. I'm trying to remember because when Rocket League came out, I was like, hey, that sounds like a game that someone mentioned. But I don't know. Rocket League's a ton of fun. It's on just about every system you can think of now.
Now they have the cross-platform play.
Cross-play between Microsoft and Nintendo and possibly PC that I'm not sure
of. Your car's hitting a fucking soccer ball into a net.
And boy,
that's all it. But people love it. I mean, okay.
I mean,
it looks goofy and fun.
I mean, sure, you can break down soccer into hitting a ball into a net too. That's what this is. It's automotive soccer.
Yes.
So unfortunately, more babies had to shit their fucking pants and leave 2,700 negative reviews on Steam. Because they sold their what's the word.
They sell out?
They sold their integrity.
They sold their integrity?
Yeah, they sold their integrity. So, God, I fucking hate these babies. Jesus Christ.
You're attacking our fans, E. Our fans that are bombing on Steam. You're attacking our fans directly, E. Don't you realize what you're
directly,
doing?
Directly, that's what I'm doing. Directly insulting our fans. No, I'm insulting these people who feel like they need to take time out of their day to leave a negative review because the game they liked was bought by some other company.
Yeah.
Be happy, maybe. I mean, I don't like it necessarily when these companies get bought out, but maybe this might be a decent thing for Psyonix. Maybe the people who made the game that you like maybe all their hard work has finally paid off.
Maybe the guys that slaved away making this game and working on this, they're like, you know what? I want a few million dollars. I deserve it.
We're fine. We've done what we want to do. Give us the money.
Maybe the guys that built the business that's 15 minutes away that might appear in a certain upcoming documentary, not for resale, a video game store documentary that I might be executive producing. Maybe they're like, we deserve this. They're thinking about this is life-changing money potentially, and they're still going to be working on the game. And from what I saw, that they're committed to, they're not going to take the game off of Steam. They're going to keep it where it is.
That's another thing I think people were concerned about is that it's going to be taken off Steam. And they said, no, we will support the Steam version.
Maybe
going forward,
Epic Games made $3 billion in profit last year. They got some money to spend. You might not like it, but they got the money to spend. They want to diversify their portfolio. Maybe they realize that Fortnite could be gone in a couple of years or maybe weakened. So let's get Rocket League, because Rocket League came out 3-4 years ago and it's still popular. So I don't know. When you have people doing review bombs over corporate decisions, I don't know. Like, I think it's just selfishness. That's what I think it is.
Yeah, I do too. So, I don't know. If your game is... If your game is going to be mostly unchanged, if you're still playing it, why... The review bomb is dumb. You're not going to... Do you really want to keep people from playing the game that you like? Because if you do that, then they're not going to make more of it.
Well, the good news is that the review bombing has been working because Steam put in their anti-review bomb.
Yes.
Safeguards. So basically, if they know they're getting a bunch of... a huge amount of negative reviews at one time, a message comes up notifying the user about that, and I think they wipe those scores somehow. There's an algorithm put in place for it at this point.
And it'll block off, it'll alert you that a certain block from a time to a period of time. Basically, it says that these reviews are not counted because these reviews...
Off-topic review activity is what it's called.
They do not... they probably will not have any impact on your enjoyment of the game. Basically, they're not about the game.
They're bullshit reviews. Yeah. Like, fuck you guys for selling out. It's like, well, that doesn't really tell me about the game.
And they quote one in particular where it's like, the entire review is the guy's like, this game is great, and he goes through all the reasons why it's great, and then he leaves it a thumbs down and says, fuck you for selling your soul or whatever like that. So,
you know, I hope the people that are leaving these reviews, I hope they get into a situation. They can be so lucky they work their asses off to make a game, and then someone offers to buy it for probably a huge amount of money, while still probably employing you to work on your game. And how would you think if you're in that situation where, no, you know, I'm not gonna get paid off so my eight generations after me don't have to worry about money ever again. I'm gonna worry about people getting pissed off because now a rival fucking a digital distribution company, you don't like it, so I'm not gonna do this deal. This is the real world we live in.
If it's not going to affect employment, then
it's one thing to say that you know, if this was going to be altered in some drastic way, then you can complain about it. I'd be like, that's okay, you have a right to do that to that extent. So Psyonix, you're right, it worked on Gears of War, Bulletstorm, that came and went with that really much of a thing, Bulletstorm.
And then it got an HD remake that I don't think anyone asked for on the PS4.
No, Bulletstorm sort of underperformed. Unreal Tournament 3, oh my god, they worked on UT 2004 as well. You didn't say that. Why am I not there beating down the door for a job? I'll make them coffee right there. I'll make them fucking coffee for working on Unreal Tournament 2004, which was a masterpiece of first-person shooters. So, all right. So they're going to keep it on Steam. There's no reason not to, because then Epic Games makes money no matter what. This doesn't have to be an exclusive to their store anyway, because it's on every fucking platform already and has been for years. So it wouldn't make sense to make it an exclusive after it's been out for years. They're not that dumb. They wouldn't do something that stupid.
Yeah.
They have the right to, but they won't do that. So, all right. Anything else? I'm actually happy because now, you know, Kevin, the director of Not For Resale, has interviewed a couple of employees there, you know, the guys that did this game. So it's like, wow, these people now, this is huge for them. I mean, they're making money anyway, but now they're making a lot more money if you get bought out. I mean, some of these guys might be worth tens of millions of dollars now. In Stamps.com, I've been using Stamps.com for years.
Yeah, if you've been sending out DVDs, packages.
Sega CD systems, T-shirts, what have you. Stamps.com brings all the amazing services of the U.S. Post Office right to your computer. Whether you're a small office sending invoices or an online seller shipping out products, you know, on eBay or Amazon, or even a warehouse sending thousands of packages a day, Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. All you need, Ian, you need a computer. You need a printer with ink, preferably. Mm-hmm. You need like stickers, you know, or paper to put on the addresses and print off of. And then it's a scale to weigh, which you can potentially get with Stamps.com. So right now, listeners will get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. You go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, you type in CU podcast. Stamps.com is a no-brainer. It saves you time and money.
You get 5 cents off every stamp, up to 40% off your priority mail.
Yeah. And you don't deal with the hassle of the post office. So again, let's go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, type in CU podcast. Stamps.com. I've been using it for years and years and years. I love them. We're proud to partner with our pals at Flex Pro Meals. They're a meal delivery company that sends healthy pre-made meals to your doorstep. They have yummy, nutritious entrees you may have grown up on, but they make healthier versions of. Eating healthy is a lifestyle change, not a two-week gimmick. They help you out. They go the extra mile. They give you value with realistic meal options at a good price.
FlexPro offers a weight loss fat trimmer plan for about $8.50 a meal and a lean muscle larger portion plan for about $11 a meal. Some of our most popular meal entries are smoked brisket mac, breakfast burrito, chicken Alfredo. The list goes on. I had the adobo chicken recently. That was very good. Creamy adobo sauce chicken, rice, and they keep adding new ones. You can change it up almost every week.
Yeah, and even if you want to go just steak and potatoes or steak and veggies, if you want to go like totally, you know, get lean and cut and ripped, if you go to the gym a lot, you can just do that. I like the chicken and sweet potatoes one. That's a nice balanced healthy meal right there. And they throw in some peas there, some green beans,
mm-hmm.
The split peas, the ones in the shells.
Yes, pea pods.
It's a legume. It's a pea pod. So that's good. And obviously, they have other ones as well. They have like the burger casserole one. The breakfast burrito isn't bad. I like the breakfast burrito.
I actually had that yesterday.
It's a good one. And you have the dumplings. I haven't tried the dumplings yet.
Yes, I really like
those. Amongst others, the backyard barbecue is always a favorite as well. So they also have an app to help you track what you're eating. Make sure you're staying on that right path. Remember, it's swimsuit season coming soon. All right, for 20% off your first order, use code CUPODCAST when you visit flexpromeals.com. That's 20% off with code CUPODCAST. Get ripped and lean. Ian, you want to talk about Randy Pitchford of Gearbox having a meltdown?
So this is...
This is a CEO.
This is interesting.
I remember Randy doing the... he was the Aliens game at E3 like 6 years ago. The Colonial Marines game. He was showing that off in the little dark room with like 10 of us at a time, the demo.
So basically, Randy Pitchford, this guy has always got something fucking going on.
There's always something.
Well, he's the guy that was we talked about it a little while ago. I think he was the one, or maybe we thought about it but didn't. But he was the guy who
alleged
he left the.
USB drive.
Stick at Medieval Madness or whatever the not Medieval at the pinball
at Medieval Times. Yeah, and there was something about allegedly about like porn on some drive or something that someone found was a corporate USB.
He found porn. Yeah.
Okay.
So, anyways,
allegedly
they were doing a stream where they were talking about the game about a week ago
with
Monday I think,
and it was with. Andrea Renee and Greg Miller, two individuals who appear in Not For Resale, a video game store documentary. Sorry, I just had to say that. Just weird. Go on.
Okay. So, your little project.
Yes, my little project.
So, on the stream, they're talking about it, and they say there's going to be no microtransactions.
Randy says that.
Randy says there's going to be no microtransactions. Okay. And then... it's announced that there are going to be purchasable costumes.
After the fact.
There's going to be purchasable costumes that you can get in the game, which is a microtransaction.
Technically, sure.
It is, and I'm going to get into this. It's a microtransaction. And Game Informer says, despite Gearbox CEO Randy Pitchford's comment about no microtransactions in Borderlands 3 during today's live stream, we've been told cosmetic items are still purchasable.
So in the timeline, he does this reveal stream with Andrea Renee and Greg Miller. Afterwards, Game Informer asks someone, they dig in, it's like, this sounds weird, let's ask someone. And they find out that you can purchase cosmetic items, like it's like costumes or whatever.
Right.
They put out this tweet.
Yep.
So now it's like, fuck, why did Randy say this?
Yes. So Randy is, you know, his first response is, why you guys would fuck me on this is beyond me. Thanks a lot.
Okay. So he responds to Game Informer and says, why you guys would fuck me on this? Randy, my man, you're the head of a company, of a game dev company.
So, yeah, exactly.
You're fucking me. Why are you fucking me?
Why are you fucking me? So we're going to go and look at some of these other things, too. So... all right, the first response is, come on, guys, shitty clickbait headline. Literally seconds before I said that, I made it very clear we're going to do more cosmetic stuff like we did in Borderlands 2. You know I was talking about premium currency and loot boxes kind of stuff not being in our game. Why you guys would fuck me on this is beyond me.
He said, shitty clickbait headline to the response. This was on May 1st.
And then someone replies to him, you said no microtransactions. Paying small sums of money for cosmetics is a microtransaction. You lied. Not having loot boxes is a big plus, but be honest in how you're monetizing the game that's already cost $60, which makes that's a perfectly reasonable response. Randy Pitchford replies, see, Game Informer, this is what your fuckwitted tweet is doing. Please correct your bullshit. This user believes and has called me a liar because of your incomplete context clickbait bullshit there. You are better than this.
Fuckwitted. I love that term, Randy. I might start using that. Fuckwitted. So Randy feels attacked. Randy's got to relax a bit.
Yeah.
He could have just put out a response saying, I misspoke. Maybe he just meant... He probably just meant, like, no loot boxes and no stuff that helps your performance in the game. Just clarify your statement. Don't fucking go after a news site for doing due diligence and following up on something. You know what I mean? Like, he probably honestly just meant, like, oh, there's nothing like loot boxes or shit like that, like purchasing, you know, fucking gun upgrades and things like that. You know, like, just say I fucked up, I misspoke, or I meant something else.
So then a straightforward yes or no question. Can I buy with real money any kind of item in Borderlands 3? As I said at the live event, we will be working on big campaign DLC and will probably also offer additional cosmetics, just as we did in Borderlands 2. What we will not do is free-to-play style microtransactions, no premium currency, loot boxes, etc. Okay, that's great, and that's admirable, and that's fine, and I actually like that, but it's a matter of... there's still people paying for stuff in the game.
Sure.
And why this... And the only reason we're getting down to this nitpicking...
It's because of his response.
No, it's because we've gone so far from what games used to be. Games used to be... all this costume shit was unlockable.
Sure.
And then about 10 years ago, we started making that move away from unlockable content is no longer allowed, and you pay for things. So that's considered an entirely separate thing to people now, when it shouldn't be. If it's not part of the game, if you're paying a amount of money for it, it's a microtransaction. Now, there seems to be some split hairs here over whether he said no loot boxes or no microtransactions, and that I'm trying to find. But still, there's no reason to fucking flip out about the original Game Informer post. It simply says no microtransactions. Yeah. Even if it says no loot boxes in Borderlands 3 during today's live stream, we've been told cosmetic items are still purchasable.
Yes. So technically it's a microtransaction. It is. So, and they didn't call him a liar. They just said we've been told cosmetic items are still purchasable. So we took it as an affront. He should have just clarified. He should have contacted Game Informer and said, I misspoke. I meant there was no... maybe items that could affect the gameplay, you know, things like weapons or arm, you know what I mean? He could have, or specific items. He should have just said that, and people would have been, okay, that makes sense. So this became a bigger story now because of that. The best response up front was from the Iceman 2288. I can't believe anyone would accuse you, the developer of Aliens Colonial Marines, of misleading people during the marketing of a game. Oof.
Yeah, or people should trust the guy who was sued for millions on fraud back in 2015 and is also currently being sued by fraud for his own former lawyers.
Is that someone responded?
Yep, and there's a link here to it too. So yeah, that's backed up.
What do they do besides Borderlands?
Duke Nukem Forever.
That was the last big thing.
Colonial Marines.
So that no games that were 7-8 years ago.
I think they do some other stuff too. That's not it. I mean, that's not it. They definitely do other stuff. But Borderlands is what they're most known for.
Let's see. Gearbox. Let's see. I'm looking at it right now. They did the Duke Nukem 3D 20th Anniversary World Tour Pack. So they have the rights to Duke Nukem now. I guess that's a dead franchise. They're not doing that again, right? Borderlands Game of the Year. Desert Bus VR. Battleborn. Tales from the Borderlands, which I guess is a adventure Borderlands story.
Yep.
Borderlands pre-sequel. Fuck. Oh, Homeworld? They had the rights to Homeworld? Okay. I haven't heard that game in a while.
No, neither have I.
Mostly Borderlands, Ian.
Yeah.
And then also Samba de Amigo, Shake It to the Beat. They got the Samba de Amigo game. James Bond, 007 Nightfire. We're going back now.
Whoa, okay.
So, I mean, like, it's really Ian Borderlands at this point.
All right.
I mean, that's really what their business is. So, yeah. When was Borderlands 2? Like 5-6 years ago? When was that? I feel like I was in...
Borderlands 2?
Yeah, when was that?
Oh, that had to have been... I think that was pre-podcast.
Pre-podcast? Is that how we split our time up?
Yeah.
That was 2012.
Oh, okay.
So when did we start the podcast?
I'm gonna do some math.
2013 we started the podcast.
Okay. Yeah, so it was pre.
So it's almost 6 years. Holy fuck. We just did our 5-year anniversary almost a year ago.
Yep.
Oh my god. We're old. Okay, so anyway, so this is where the cover up is worse than the crime almost, but this is a bad response.
Yeah,
just bad.
It's
unprofessional. It makes you look weird.
Email them. Don't make it live.
Be like, hey guys.
Even if they took your words somewhat wrong, having an 18 tweet meltdown is not the way to do
it. This is all you got to do, PR people. This is a PR lesson. Hey guys, I just want to clarify some things I said. And then they probably would include it in the article. Update. We reached out, or he reached out, and this is what he said. And then that would be the end of the story. It wouldn't be a podcast topic, probably, at this point.
No, it wouldn't.
It wouldn't be. Okay. Moving on. All right. So, it seems like, wow, it's that time of year again. It's the most wonderful time of the year, Ian.
Oh, boy.
For the World Video Game Hall of Fame inductees.
Here we go.
Have been announced. This seems like a fourth time we've done this on the podcast, seems
yep,
like.
It is...
From the Strong Museum.
From the Strong Museum, and we have...
Which is toys and games. It's like everything.
So let's read them off, and then we'll go over them.
Okay.
We got Candy Crush, Centipede, Colossal Cave Adventure, Dance Dance Revolution, Half-Life, Microsoft Windows Solitaire.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat, Myst, NBA 2K... Sid Meier's, Civilization, Super Mario Kart, Super Smash Brothers Melee.
That's a really good list.
That's a great list. I can.
You can make arguments for.
I can make arguments for all of those.
I don't.
That's the first
now,
year I think.
I am not familiar with Colossal Cave Adventure. I had to read that it was a text game.
Oh
in the
70s. I've never heard of that. That's a big deal.
Do we miss that in video game years, or was that early 70s?
I think that was mid 70s.
We got to do the video game year 70s Strikes Back. We'll go over that.
So
I looked that up. I know nothing about that Colossal Cave Adventure.
I believe that's the one where you can get eaten by a Gru.
So that was like a precursor to Zork?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I just want to say eaten by a Gru.
And Zork's not in this. Is Zork in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, wait, no. Gru is Zork. Sorry. It's what is the one that Colossal Cave Adventure
has? The first
has?
historic first interactive fiction game. So this is like the first text adventure game.
Yeah.
The computer would simulate and describe a situation that the user would type in what to do next in simple English. The user would thus be part of an ongoing story in a fantasy setting, in this case, an exploration of Colossal Cave in Kentucky. But this Colossal Cave, though remarkably similar to its real-life counterpart, was also very different. Magic was afoot in the cave. Ooh! Okay.
All right, so I'm wrong.
Oh, you can play it online. I like a lot of these text adventures, like the Zork games and Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. You can just play them on. They put them online. Who cares?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm wrong about the Gru thing. Anyways, yeah. It was like
the first text adventure,
big text adventure.
That's big.
Candy Crush. Love it or hate it.
Huge
it's,
fucking game.
It's huge.
I know what it is, and I'll never play it.
Most people know what it is. People. I had someone come into the store literally the last time I worked, 2 days ago, and they were looking at DS games. And they picked up one. It was like a Bejeweled or something like that. And the mom goes, no, you don't want that. It's just Candy Crush. Which is hilarious because Bejeweled came out before Candy Crush. So
there's a TV game show, Candy Crush? I had no idea.
Wow.
That's how you know it's big.
So it's huge. I mean,
2012 it came out. It seems like it was longer. It's only been 7 years.
I mean, it wasn't the first big free-to-play app game, but it's probably the most popular. And it's what I think a lot of people would think of first when they think of, a quintessential phone game.
Sure.
So
Candy Crush, is that one of the ones you just swipe together
and
they disappear?
Yeah, it's a match three. Centipede is obviously a big one.
Centipede!
I love
can't
Centipede.
Run away!
I'm happy to see it get its due.
That was a big game. We talked about how colorful it was, the pastels. The rollerball was really nice. It's really still fun. At the time, it was one of the twitchiest, quickest games in the arcades. Where you really needed quick reflexes.
Yeah, you needed
like
to be
really
fast. It's an insanely fast game. And it was incredibly popular with women. It's credited, at least in the early 80s, as being one of those games that got women into games.
It helped get
games.
Women into games.
I don't think you necessarily need something to get them into games, women into games.
They
but,
played Pac-Man and Miss Pac-Man. They
right,
play other stuff.
Exactly. And Yeah, just incredibly, incredibly popular. And it was developed by a woman as well. It was developed by Donna Bailey, along with Ed Long. So that's a big deal. And then what else we got here?
I'm going to go back to Colossal Cave Adventure real quick. It sounds like it inspired Robert Williams to create Mystery House in 1980, which is regarded as the first, you know, graphical-ish game?
Sort of, yes.
It's because it's like line drawings, and then it became, what, Ghost House after Mystery House, I believe. So that's important, obviously. You have to lay the foundation somewhere.
Dance Dance Revolution, I mean, sparked a revolution in music games. It was huge.
Foot stamping games.
It was...
what was that, early 2000s?
Yeah, late 90s.
Late 90s?
Late 90s, early 2000s.
Okay.
So that's huge. I mean, it kind of birthed the popularity of the rhythm genre.
I can just look on the website and tell you the exact year.
Half-Life?
Because it's there.
I've never played Half-Life, but obviously it should be there.
Oh, my God.
There's no reason why it shouldn't.
Half-Life altered what you could do with a first-person shooter.
Well,
It really opened up, like, oh, we can tell a real story.
That's what I've always
You're heard. Not just a guy killing Nazis or killing, you know, zombies. This is a story we could immerse you in with all the NPCs and learning as you go what the fuck's going on. Like, that's and besides this being a damn good game on top of that. It's a damn good game.
I've always meant to go and play it because I want to see what everyone's talking about with the storytelling. That always sounds good. Like, I mean,
by now you're going to be like, what's the big deal?
No, but I want to see see the origin.
Playing it in 98, like I did, maybe it was a Where's version I had.
Where's? I always called it Where's.
Off of ICQ.
Got that zero day.
Was it ICQ? No, MIRC. IRC. It was IRC.
Oh my God. I can't believe you just confused IRC.
I know.
And
ICQ, I used like 2 years when I was 12 or 13. No, it was IRC. You had your little servers. Allegedly, Pat had his little servers, and you get credits for uploading and downloading stuff. That was fun, maybe, in college. Anyway, so Half-Life, obviously. Microsoft Windows Solitaire has probably been played by more people than probably almost any other video game, if you want me to be perfectly honest.
Oh, I can't imagine there's any game that has been played more. I would love to... If only there was a way to tally up the combined total played hours among everyone.
Oh, if you want to go hours, I'm just talking about number of different people. Because think about everyone who had a PC from Windows, 3.1 on.
Yep.
Had a Windows. So 3.1, 95, 98. I think XP still had it. You probably could still get it for Windows 10 if you just look for it and download it.
I'm pretty sure you can, but you have to actually...
But just think about whenever, you know, people, you know, home computers got big, I want to say like 93-ish, 94, a lot more people started to get, they became a little bit more affordable. Gateway helped bring the price down to under $1,000. That was huge. They started showing up by the mid to late 90s in like Circuit Cities and Best Buys and CompUSAs. So think about all those people that bought computers for the first time. The first thing they'd say, oh, let's look at a game. What's here? You got Minesweeper, you got Solitaire to play.
Yep.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
And so everyone was playing that. And, you know, and even in college, oh, let's play fucking, let's not work on the term paper. You know, let's play Solitaire for a bit.
Let's just play Solitaire.
I never understood the golf game, the golf card game that they had on.
Oh, yeah. I learned more Solitaire as time went on, but at that point, I couldn't do any of those other ones.
Are you hardcore and do three-card Solitaire or do the single draw?
I do three-card.
Three-card. So you can get stuck. Three-card, you can get fucked.
Yep.
You don't always have a happy ending. Single card is a little bit easier. Three card, that can get
single
rough.
Card, you can pretty much
almost guarantee a victory.
Yeah, the way I don't know that I've ever lost, but I'm sure there's a way you can.
You can get unlucky, but with three card, it's really tough.
Yeah, three card,
you gotta get lucky a little bit.
Three cards difficult, and I remember there used to be in one of the versions there was like Vegas rules or something, and I don't know that there's actually any Vegas Solitaire.
Yes, there's money involved.
Yeah, and I've never
heard of Solitaire in a casino.
Neither have I. However, it was interesting to play it because the better you did, it showed you, you know, you won more money and shit like that. It was an interesting way to keep score.
There might be a casino out there. Hell, some casinos have war in them, for God's sake. The one card.
Yes.
I've been in casinos that have war. One card versus one card. What is the bigger card? It's literally a 50-50 chance of winning.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
So there could be a casino that has Solitaire, but yeah, whenever I saw that, I never understood the rules with the money on it. Anyway, so that... Okay.
Mortal Kombat.
Absolutely.
It deserves to be there.
Well, Street Fighter's got to be in there already then. Street Fighter 2.
I'm fairly certain it was.
Where's the list of all them? The website does have a nice clean list of every single one.
But Mortal Kombat, regardless of whether or not Street Fighter 2 is in there, it better be. But Mortal Kombat deserves its place. It's a series that I didn't really start to like until 20 years later, but it was huge. I mean, it was all over the news for its violence. It changed. It created rating systems.
They just started this in 2015.
Yeah.
Okay. Last year, they only had 4 games inducted. So these are the finalists. These aren't all the inductees. These are just the finalists.
These are the finalists.
They don't just induct all of them. What is this? The Oscars? Put them all in.
Oh yeah, we're looking at well, whatever. These finalists they all do deserve about, to be in.
They did 6 the first year, 6 the second year, 4 the third year. Oh, Solitaire got in 2000. Solitaire is this year. I'm looking at the other list. Is this the only game like this that was even in here so far? Yeah, this is the only game like this, like a computer game. I'm sorry, Mortal Kombat.
So,
Street Fighter 2 was 2017.
Oh, Mortal Kombat did get inducted. Okay, great. So it looks like of all the games that actually got inducted, it was Colossal Cave Adventure, Microsoft Solitaire, Mortal Kombat, and Super Mario Kart, which is all fine. But I honestly, all of these should have been in there.
I don't understand that now. Why do you only have 4 or 5 per year? Why not just do all of them? You didn't come back to these later?
Well, they might.
So you're telling me Half-Life doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame?
Well,
so let's go on.
We read the wrong list, but let's continue explaining why all of these, are good. Mm-hmm. Myst, was the probably the most iconic. This game doesn't make any goddamn sense. Puzzle game. It was one of the first big CD-ROM titles. It really kind of showed what a CD-ROM title on a computer could do.
Yes.
So I think more than anything, that's probably its big claim to fame in terms of history, because Myst doesn't hold up well over time.
93 it was. So that was a lot of people's first CD-ROM game. That sold a bajillion copies.
Yeah. And it's not good. It's not
a
good
play. You're on an island. It's
not a good game.
You're moving first person to find click on shit. It's like a lot of those early, adventure titles.
It's incredibly obtuse. And it's all from a first-person perspective.
Yeah.
NBA 2K, that really changed how the basketball video games were looked at, and single-handedly put a nail in the coffin of EA's NBA Live.
And that was, I always hear that they're like, they have the story modes and the career modes.
Yeah, they're good games.
You build your own house.
And they're littered with microtransactions now, but the basic game is still very good. Sid Meier's Civ, now knowing that this is just the finalists, I'm upset that Civilization's not in there. I am torn up that Civilization's not in there.
Hey, Straw Museum, you don't need to do a cute little display. Like, just say they're in there. Just put the game up. Like, they have this cool little
contests are fun.
No, they're not, because now they're not going to come back to this in another year.
They probably will.
I don't think so. I don't think they ever... Did they ever do another... this doesn't make any sense to me.
They better.
Start with 20 games and go down to like 8 or 9.
Super Mario Kart, obviously fantastic.
That one got in.
The first... the first karting racing game. Then Apogee came out and made Wacky Wheels as a...
Wacky Wheels.
I used to play Wacky Wheels online. I used to just connect.
That was an early online game.
Yeah, modem to modem. I used to play that online.
What were the characters in Wacky Wheels? Looked that up.
They were animals, I think. They're like cutesy animals. And then Super Smash Brothers Melee. I don't like it, but I get it.
It's huge. It's still...
I get it.
It's the most popular one out of, we have 5 Smash Brothers games now?
So I guess we interpreted that wrong initially because we were looking at the tweet. Those were finalists. And then, yes, the final inductees were
Colossal Cave,
which I have to give it to it. Solitaire, Mortal Kombat, and Super Mario Kart. They're all worthwhile, but unlike previous years, I feel like all of those finalists were extremely worthwhile. That must have been a tough one to pare down.
I want that Super Mario Kart little guy that they made. They made a little Mario Kart and they put a stuffed Mario in there.
Yeah.
I want that.
I want the Colossal Cave Adventure display because that looks cool. I like that a lot.
I think the Strong Museum needs more money. They don't have the money to do these displays for every game.
I want to see what a
Civilization display would look like now.
That would be cool.
Like popping out little cities and units and like in 3D.
You've ruined us. You've ruined us. We just want all of your displays now.
No, I do. I held the Solitaire display. So last year the inductees were Final Fantasy VII, John Madden Football, Space War, and Tomb Raider. I remember last year's list being a pretty good list too.
Yeah.
And so now I'm kind of depressed. Rochester, not just because it's always 0 degrees there.
Rochester's not always 0 degrees. Buffalo is always 0 degrees.
Rochester is in the same plane, Ian. It's right there. It's 15 minutes from Canadian.
It fares a little bit better.
Oh, really?
Yes. It does. Snowstorms don't hit Rochester as often as they hit Buffalo.
You know, I applied to RIT, right?
Good.
I applied to college. I went there and visited.
Yes, congrats. I lived there. They don't get the lake effect snow that Buffalo does. They don't deal with
as told me there'll be snow on the ground for like 5 straight months.
Yes.
Yes, it's bad.
It's not as bad as Buffalo, is all I was saying.
They had subterranean tunnels connecting the buildings on the campus.
I'm just saying you would have done better there than you would have in Buffalo. You lose the lake effect snow.
Weird ass regional. My winter dick is bigger than your winter dick.
It's not. It was that you would have done better.
By 3 degrees, it's worse.
The weather is nicer.
Once you get down to 20 degrees, it doesn't fucking matter anymore. 20 versus 15, it doesn't matter.
It does to us snow people.
Fucking Christ, Ian. I want to just kiss you, then smack you.
Yeah, right afterwards. I know. You say that all the time. Believe me, the feeling is mutual. All
right.
They have garbage plates, too.
Yeah, we went over the garbage plates. You and Chris Kohler can commiserate on the garbage plates.
Commiserate? They're great. They're wonderful.
Yes, we've been over them like 8 times. I will have one I don't think I've ever been in Buffalo before.
It's not in Buffalo. Well, you can get them in Buffalo, but they're better in Rochester.
Oh, so that you're conceding Rochester plates are better. Their beans are better they put in. Is that why they're better?
I wasn't insulting Rochester in any way, shape,
I feel like I defend Rochester for some weird fucking reason. I don't know why.
If you were defending Rochester, you'd just say that they had nicer weather.
I got into the college. I didn't want to go, probably because it also was like they said it was like 10% women only on campus. Too, that probably was not a good thing to have. You know, it's a technology institute. When I went, it was literally like a bunch of like programming people showing me around and stuff like that.
Also, you should call it Rockchester.
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 Thank God I didn't go to RIT. Plus, I my computer science major, by the end of freshman year, I was done with it anyway, so that would have been horrible, living in Rochester in the tunnels, you know, with like making fires in my dorm room, not having any fun, and then figuring out computer science isn't for me and leaving. My dad would not have liked that.
Mm-hmm.
My dad might have rethrown out my Cabbage Patch Kid clothes.
Did you get back Mikey Stevens' clothes yet?
I bought them on eBay.
You did.
See the model over there? I'll show you later. That's not Marky Stevens, but I bought him with the original clothes. Marky Stevens, I'm going back in June and getting.
Okay.
I'm getting the original, but I'll show him that. But that's the model.
I see. Because
you know why? My dad found a pic and scanned it for me because I didn't know what the clothes looked like. Those are the clothes.
So wait, that's
the Marky Stevens model.
That's a Marky Stevens,
that's
but not
the
Marky
Stevens.
Yes. Okay.
I actually found the adoption papers, but I don't have the certificate. I got to find the certificate. I found the adoption papers over there. Sorry, we're getting off topic. I'm not sure this is going to make the Hall of Fame segment. We're kind of going off topic.
We always get off topic.
All right.
People love it.
Okay, we got a Patreon Q&A, Ian, which also might be a segment.
So we've got this Patreon Q&A, and you do that by going to the patreon.com.
You put another nickel in that Nickelodeon.
Yeah, patreon.com/CU podcast, insert coin, turn handle, and out comes content.
Put another nickel in that Nickelodeon. In third place, Pat's terrible Suncoast working experience. I brought up on the podcast about 3 or 4 years ago. I want to go through it more
detail. I think we've done it a couple times, but you know, it's always nice to bring these back to new listeners.
It's always nice to bring up my horrific work experiences every once in a while. That was 26%. 27%, what would a CU podcast would be look like? And in first place, at 47%, this is why it's also going to be a segment, the worst game scams people have tried to pull on us. This is why it's also a Tales
from
the Game Store.
The Game Store.
So Kieran, rewind it and put the intro in before the Patreon.
It's a 2-in-1.
Go, Ian.
So this is an older tale, and I believe I've told this on the podcast before, but why not go over it again? Because, you know, it's going under 2 new headings this time.
Sure.
The worst scam anyone ever tried to pull on me was when I was working at the store. And it was a sale day. It was a Saturday. Now, we do 2 buy 2 get 1 free sales a year. And they are
never gets told about them.
And they are busy as shit. The most recent one we had was
a month ago.
The most recent one we had was about a month ago, and the Saturday was the biggest sales day Luna's ever had, which is nuts. So they're always busy. People do come in usually beforehand and try to. It's a peach gummy, man.
So you can smell it.
Yeah, you can smell the potters on there.
Sorry.
you can smell the potters.
It's still kind of malleable. Sorry, go.
So people will always try to get some credit for this, and that's fine. A lot of people who have done this before know that they should come in a few days beforehand to get their credit, trade their stuff in. And then there are people who come in on the day, and they realize that they've kind of made a bad mistake by doing it. And they almost always, they apologize when people come in to trade stuff in on like a sale day where it's crushed. They're like, oh, you know, sorry to take up your time.
Sure.
Whatever. But we go through it, and it's usually not a huge amount. So we go through it and we give them the credit. So one day this shaggy bastard who I hate comes into the store.
Shaggy bastard.
Comes into the store. I don't like him at all.
You know, people are going to call you a shaggy bastard, potentially.
That's fine. I don't give a shit. I am a shaggy bastard. But this guy was shaggy in that he had, like, an overgrown bowl cut kind of way. And, yeah, it was just, he was, I didn't like him. So he's always given me shit. He had always given me shit at the store prior. He's one of those guys who'll bring in, like, 50 fucking games, and then after you give him a credit amount, he'll be like, I need to know what you're giving me, like, how much was this game?
You did tell this to me before. Yeah.
So, this guy comes in Saturday around 11:30, so half an hour after we're open, when we're dealing with our first busiest point of the day, usually, and drops? A cardboard box with, like, literally about 150 N64 games on the table.
So he either has a big collection and goes to the swap meet or thrift stores and holy shit.
And then he drops a box of NES games on the table.
Okay.
Probably about 60 of these.
So 200 games about.
Yeah. And he goes, I want to get store credit. And I said, okay. And he goes, I want to know what I'm getting for each of these. And I looked at him, I said, that's not happening. I said, these are all, they were mostly sports games in the N64 box. I was like, I said, we're having a sale. And like I said, it wasn't me just being like this to this guy right off the bat. I've had issues with the guy before.
So like he would always be troublesome. And then with this situation with a lot of people in there, you don't have the time to
yeah, I
200
I,
fucking games.
I can't give him the exact quote for 200 games. I'm going to go through them and I'm going to do my best to give him a fair price, but I'm tailing it in my head. And if he wants to know what a certain game is, if it's particularly rare, sure, I can probably tell him.
Sure.
But no, dude, I can't break down how many cents I'm giving you for each of these sports
games. I can't
games.
Tell you how much Mike Piazza's Strike Zone is going to get you.
There was a lot of copies of that in there.
Why do I not own a copy of Mike Piazza Strikes when I love Mike Piazza? I should have one sealed.
So I start going through it, and you know, I get a rough tally in my head for the N64 sports games. And then I start going through the NES games. And oh, a Little Samson. Obviously fake. Keep going through some of them.
That's song in the back. That's what you hear. The door's not closed.
Oh. Do you want me to close that?
I'm going to close it. You keep talking.
Okay. So, he's like, there's some good stuff in there. That's what he says, like, for the NES stuff. Yeah. He's like, there's some good stuff in there for the NES stuff. And I was like, okay. So, I go through all the N64 stuff, and then I start going through the NES stuff. And I'm like, oh, this is a bullshit Little Samson. So I put it back in for a second, and I keep going through. Oh, here's a bullshit Stadium Events.
Oh, wow.
And I keep going through.
So the N64, you didn't notice anything, but now you're going through the NES.
Yeah. And then I go through the end of the NES, and oh, here's a bullshit Flintstones.
What? The trifecta of rare NES games that people will be looking for. Like, that's it.
Yep. So I said, hey, man, you can get the fuck out of here.
Just like that.
Just like that.
Were people in the store?
Yeah. Oh, people were in the store. But I was pissed. And he goes, huh? What? And I said, bootleg, bootleg, bootleg. And he goes, oh, well, I was going to tell you. And I said, no, motherfucker. I said, it's your duty when you bring this stuff in. He's like, he said, I was going to tell you, babe. I didn't know if you guys took like repros on the side or whatever. And I was like, no. I said, you brought all this in here. on a sale day, and I showed them all. Yeah, I went like that to all the people.
When I'm busy.
And like the people are watching this now. I said, when I'm busy, you tell me you need to know what I'm giving you for everything, and then you slide bootlegs into this box. Like, I'm just not going to see them.
Would he? Do you think he would have said something if you
no.
said...
No. And I said, then that's what I said. I said, the burden is on you to bring these in and be like, here are my games. By the way, these are repros. Do you guys take them?
If you had priced it, maybe if you went through mentally, this is worth nothing, 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 and gave him a total, do you think he would have said, wait a minute, I have three rare games in there? Or you think he would have just let it slide? You think he was just he wanted to see if he screwed up?
Like I said, I had previous encounters with this dude. I knew what he was doing.
So he tried something like this before?
No, yeah, not exactly, but he had been an asshole the whole time. It was obvious what he was trying to do.
He wanted to see if you slipped up. He might not have said, hey, that's a rare game, but if you gave him $1,000 for a couple of rare games, well, he would have taken
that's
it.
That's what I'm saying. If I had given him the money
He
wouldn't have said anything.
Oh, he really thinks that if you saw state events that you wouldn't have questioned it immediately?
I guess.
A game that's worth thousands of dollars?
So I was like, no, no, I said, that's not how it works. Because I did say that. I said, if I had decided to give you money for these, you wouldn't have said anything. I said, you're only telling me now because I'm calling you out. And I said, on top of that, these are absolutely miserable bootlegs. And he just like looked around and like someone in the store was like, oh, and like he just, he grabbed up his shit and he was like, this is bullshit. I've given you tons of business, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, you trade in bullshit for months. You trade in sports games for months so that you could come back and buy like the expensive game. He was never the type of person who spent any money in the store. It was always, what can I have for my absolute literal garbage?
And you've taken a lot of it.
And that's fine. But don't come in here and then... But then when I call you out, don't act like you've fucking put my kids through college, because you haven't. The most you've ever...
Do you know what my Wayne Gretzky hockey on N64 did for you?
Yeah, I mean, so I told him to get out. And that's the story. And then that was just like, I cannot believe that someone would do that. And like I said, I'm sure there are listeners who are going to be like, oh, maybe he didn't know.
If you're a game collector. You fucking know.
He's that kind of game collector.
There's no way you'd have three games like that, that the real ones would be worth fucking, you know, with the same as several $1,000, if not 10 grand all combined. You don't throw them in a fucking box with 60 other fucking NES games.
Yeah, and you hope don't. I overlook them so that you can be like, oh, I need money for these, or if I'm going to give you money for them, then...
You think you were looking for, oh my God, there's three games here. I'm going to give you 5,000 in credit for these games. Like, he wanted you to do that.
When you bring in 200 shit games and you hide three decent ones in there, yeah, you're either hoping...
These are games that... make your store a lot of money, not just tease it.
So yeah, it was awful, and we banned him from the store.
He never came back. You ever get a real stadium events in the store?
Never had a real stadium events. Have had.
You had a real little Samson.
I've had a real little Samson, but long ago.
And a real Dinosaur Peak.
Real Dinosaur Peak, long ago, and I had. It was crazy. In like a 1 year period before anyone gave a shit about it, when it was still like a $40 game, I had three copies of Bonk's Adventure.
When no one gave a shit? Well, I mean, before the NES bug really hit a lot more people.
Yeah, exactly. People saw it and they're like, oh.
I wasn't there to see that. I would have saw that in 2008. I would have bought it.
We're talking more like
2005,
2007. Six. Yeah, 2006, okay. 2007. Like when I first started working there, we saw a bunch of them.
First got to San Diego. You got to tell the story how you got hired at Luna. I don't think you ever told me that. That's for a future one.
Yeah, some other time.
It sounds like the interaction between you and Trey, I want to pay to see that first interaction. All right, so that's Ian's tale from the game store. So for Pat, real quickly, I've never had someone really try to pull a scam on me directly like that, or try to pawn something off. I just have had resellers just lie to me when they buy stuff from my collection, which I find out later. You know, it's like, oh, you're a friend, come over. This was more, not a Castle Country. This was more, you know, like 6 years ago. I have someone, a friend with the swap meet, comes over. It's like, oh, yeah, I have an extra Die Hard in NES. Very uncommon game, borderline rare. You know, I have these games. So it's like, you know what? I'll give it to you what I bought them for. This was when Pat was naive. This was when Pat was trying to make friends. Pat's nice. Pat wants to give people, you know, a shot. So it's like, so then when I see the stuff being sold, you know, months later, at the retail value, I just go, you know, well, that's interesting. What the fuck? And you always hear like, well, you know, I decided to get rid of some stuff. It's like, no, you always were going to get rid of it. You always were. Which is fine. Just be honest about it. I'll sell you something if you're going to resell it. Just be honest. And it's happened again with a bigger seller a few years ago where I sold a bunch of my... I always talk about I have all these extra boxed NES games. I think I sold them like 30 of them. And it wasn't a huge deal at the time because he always would say to me, you know, this is for my collection, like up front. Well, this is for my collection. And he used it as a bargaining tool, a bargaining chip where I'm like, well, I think I'm giving you a good deal. Well, come on, these are for my collection. So now you're going from negotiation tactic to lying. I know there's a lot of things you do in negotiation and you fudge things and there's an art to it, but now you're just not being truthful. And that's what bothers me. So then when I go to a convention and first of all, when I see, wow, this person is selling 1,000 different games, which is fine. And then when I see, oh, there's my Zen Intergalactic Ninja in the box that I sold to you that you specifically said was going to be for your collection.
Maybe a change of heart.
So it's not illegal. I'm not saying that. It's just highly unethical in business negotiations to do that. That's all.
I
took it in stride. I didn't get pissed. I made a joke about it. I said, there's my Zen. Oh, there's my Puss in Boots in the box. Oh, there's my... Because I knew that specifically those were my games. I could tell they were from how the boxes were.
So I know that guy very well. I know the guy you're talking to very well.
And I actually like the guy.
I do too. I like him. He's nice. He's given me a lot of really good deals. He has. But I actually started noticing that too. Because he would come into the store and be like, oh, I need this one for my collection. And I just started calling him out. I'm like, no, you don't. I'm going to see that at SoCal. I'm like, I know you're not buying this for your collection. And then he even said one time, he was like, well, everything I buy is like, I kind of want to keep it, but then I just decide, I sell everything. And I'm like,
no, it's a business. I understand it's a business. I'm not saying it's bad. It's a business. Just be fucking honest.
Just be honest about it, dude.
But at first I give people the benefit of the doubt. Maybe Pat's too nice in doing that because I've gotten, you know,
and like
not
I said,
burned, but.
He's not a bad guy.
No, I know he's not. He's got my phone number.
Yeah.
No, he really knows who he is. Like, so yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I think he's got mine too. But yeah.
Those are your phone numbers. So he buys, he's bought stuff at Luna to resell, you're saying?
Yes. He has my phone number to let me know when he gets PC Engine stuff, but he hasn't gotten PC Engine stuff in ages.
He buys stuff from you, but there's enough margin for him to resell stuff he buys at the store?
I think it's just like.
Stuff to sell.
Little things or things that he can find, like.
Maybe something that
maybe he can contacts a little. I don't know.
Or maybe just something to beef up your own game supply for when you're selling. Yeah. You don't want just all filler.
And then Luna slips from time to time.
I don't know if I've ever caught Luna slipping. That $40 DuckTales in the box 11 years ago, whatever that was.
DuckTales 2.
Or those two for $40. That's how much the cart was worth. So you said at the time, well, we're not charging that much more for the box. Because at the time, no one really gave a shit.
Yeah, at that point in time, we hadn't really done it.
It was for my collection. It's still on the shelf over there. I haven't sold it yet.
That's fine.
I think 10 years is the statute of limitations on saying it's for your collection. How about 5 years? 5 years is the stat. You need to give her 5 years. Years is when I can say, okay.
So I don't want to call him out by name, and next time I see him, I'll give him a hug. But don't ever sell him anything for his collection.
Oh, now I know. Now we make jokes about it, because when I see my stuff for sale.
I make the same
now
joke.
Now I want my Zen Intergalactic Ninja back. At this point, I didn't have the manual, so I sold a lot of stuff I had the manual for.
That's why it wasn't for his collection. Oh, that explains it.
Yeah, that's what explains it.
No manual, gotta get rid of it.
The Puss in Boots had a manual, I think.
I would.
Did I sell my Tom Sawyer? You want my Tom Sawyer in the box? I think I still have it.
I would take a Tom Sawyer and a Puss in Boots in the box.
I don't have the Puss in Boots anymore.
Yeah, that's a bummer. I'll find it.
Well, I might be selling this person some of my games.
Well, that's the other thing.
All for the collection.
We were kind of talking about it last night when we put this up as a topic and we're like, it looks like it's going to win. He was like, well, I mean, he's probably going to end up buying more of my shit anyways.
Yeah, he's going to buy, like, he'll show up with, like, cash and I'm like, all right, just take it.
Yep.
You know, 40 cents on the dollar. Just take it all so Pat can have a reasonable life once he hit 40. You know, so what was it? That was our Patreon poll topic.
That was our Patreon poll
slash
also
Tales from
the
game
store
and Tales from Pat's game collecting buddies, I guess you can say.
I guess.
That hasn't happened recently. No one's tried to really scam me out of it. Oh, I will say this. People try
next
to
time. Next time you see him, you should quote Randy Pitch and be like, "Why you would fuck me on?
Why you fuck me on this?
Thanks a lot."
All right,
we got a Q&A.
Q&A time.
We got a Q
on
and
the CU a podcast. This is from at MSU Hitman coming back. He's a regular.
We Deadass is my boss needs to get back in here. Otherwise, he's going to lose his
stature
he's
as the goat.
Lose his stature as the goat.
Well, you got to prove it unless you're retiring. Thoughts on people scamming GameStop by swapping labels on Switch cards? This is from a Reddit post where there's a story.
So yeah, apparently people now take the stickers off, put them on different games, and sell them because, I mean, okay, the amount of investment, the amount of what you make here on this scam seems incredibly small for ruining a game. So basically, someone, the example here shows that someone bought...
L.A. Noir?
No, they bought Smash Ultimate from GameStop.
Okay.
And when they put it in their Switch, it turned out to be L.A. Noir.
Okay, so originally the person had an L.A. Noir and a Smash. They swapped the stickers, basically.
They swapped the stickers because the Smash is going to get you five times the fucking credit that the L.A. Noir is now going to get you.
Sure. I should have bought that Switch version, by the way, L.A. Noir.
Yeah, I keep meaning to at some point.
It has all the fucking 18 different fucking exclusive add-ons for every goddamn store. I'm glad I stopped doing that
shit. I never played it, so
it's
I figured... Yeah,
it's fine.
I know you really liked it.
Modern game.
So, yeah. So, what they're saying... I can see this is kind of the old you rent a game, open it up, and put a different game in.
Which is what Scott, who dated my sister, did.
Ah.
He swapped. He
Scott
did it.
Sounds like he was an all right ruffian.
He was on the edge, like I said. He wouldn't hurt you, but he was involved on the edge.
Chaotic good.
Like he could have went in the wrong path, but he was, you know, he was a tweener, Ian. He was a tweener. Okay. So he swapped Blades of Steel with Mach Rider. That's what he did.
Fair trade.
Yeah, fair trade. That's a trade up.
That's a trade up. So
it's
now,
whole star trade up.
So we've seen this sort of stuff happen before. Like, if you ever rented games back in the day, guaranteed you probably rented one that was the wrong game.
I never did that, by the way. I never saw one that was.
Oh, really? Okay.
I was lucky.
My buddy and I rented, I think it was Tony Hawk 2 for the N64.
Okay.
And it ended up being like a Madden or something like that.
So a lot of people have these bit drivers?
I don't know how they do it, but, I mean, it happened.
They figure it out. Let's 14-year-olds figure it out.
So, now it can come back with labels, although I can't imagine these labels are super easy to peel off. And actually, it almost looks like when you look at this video this guy posted...
So this is the guy who bought it posted this.
Yeah, when you look at the video that this guy posted, if you pause it right as he's putting the Smash Brothers cart in, you can see in the upper left-hand corner where it looks like the sticker...
Oh, you can see the little white mark with their little finger.
Where they picked it
up. Yeah,
away.
This is probably like some nice glue.
So
this is the issue, though, right? So GameStop's not testing these when they come in, obviously. They're not putting them in a Switch and saying that's the right game.
No, and apparently there's a somewhat easy way to check that they're mentioning on Reddit, which is there is a digit. There's, it says it's five, but there's like five digits on the sticker and then five digits that should match up on the back of the cartridge.
So then when they produce it, they know that this game has these four digits and this sticker. That makes, well, that's a brilliant way. Thanks, Nintendo, for thinking of that.
Yeah, because...
Apparently GameStop doesn't know.
But, so, once again, it's GameStop dropping the ball. Not necessarily the employees, even. Because...
They probably don't know.
A lot of times these games do get traded. I mean, they don't test every game, and that's fine. I understand that.
Where's my Switch?
But it does seem like it should be an easy thing to tell your employees, hey, when we get Switch games in, just check to make sure these numbers are the same on the back.
And someone says the same for DS and 3DS games. I didn't know that.
Yes, that I noticed.
So it says it's really small in the back, but you can see it. So that's brilliant. Thanks, Nintendo. That's a safeguard.
Yep. So hopefully, you know, the message will go down the line and, you know, this will get taken care of. I do, in this instance, feel bad for, you know, any employee who may have had to deal with shit on this, because if they're not taught this, then they can't know it.
No, I didn't know about it myself. I want to look at my Switch games now and see. So I'm guessing they can probably return the game, like, this is bullshit.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they can, and be like, you... Because no one's going to be like... what's the word I'm looking for
what
here?
What does an L.A. Noir go for on eBay? I'm just going to say, someone will pull this scam off. I'm saying I will.
Yeah, no, I don't know. No one's going to think you're lying about, you know, I really wanted this L.A. Noir, but they put, you know, but so I put a fake stick. It's bullshit. Whatever. I'm losing.
So maybe it's the same seller that tried to scam you with the fake statements.
It must be. Peak,
and
yeah.
It must be the same guy. He just travels around.
Yeah.
Where do you think he went, Ian? You think he stopped collecting? Did you maybe you struck the fear of collecting God in him, and he became a proper game collector.
I don't know. He's probably one of those weirdos who became a free man on the land or a sovereign citizen or something.
And free man on the land?
Yeah.
What the hell is that? You mean like I own this land. Your laws have no effect on me?
Yeah, that sort of thing.
That sort of thing?
Those people are crazy. He seems like he'd be that kind of crazy.
There was a character
person like
that in Longmire. It was actually the guy from Big Lebowski, the one of the nihilists.
Oh, really?
And also, he was also in Jesus Christ, fucking the Coen Brothers movie Fargo, the same guy.
Yeah,
he played that in Longmire. He's in a few episodes where he has a scary family. He's like, he knows what the Constitution is back of his hand, and he's like,
yeah, but they know
this is
wrong.
My land. You come my land. I have the right to shoot you. And it's just like, so Longmire. Longmire's a great fucking show. No one talks about Longmire. He had to deal with him a few times.
My dad liked Longmire.
Very good show.
Yeah,
very good show. And that's how I know I'm 60 years old at heart, because no one over, you know, under 40 watch Longmire. Sorry, go on. About a Wyoming sheriff.
No, that's all I got to say. By the way, those people are fucking scary.
I never met one.
Oh, they think they're the law, so.
They think like laws don't apply to them. Like, go find your own island somewhere then that you buy. Sorry, is that it for this Q&A topic?
That's it for this CU podcast.
This is kind of economical again. Last one was about 2 hours. It was like an hour and a half.
Yeah, well, that's where we're trying to be, is about an hour and a half.
Hey, I'm trying to keep it nice for Kieran. He's got to stay up late.
Yeah.
You know, stay up late, you know, doing this in Ireland.
So. I hope he has a nice mug of herbal tea.
Oh, probably. Yeah. This wasn't a bad one.
Nah, it was fine.
We're going to do something for my birthday? Remember when we went to Nickel City? That was fun, like 7 years
ago. I would
like
to go do something for your birthday. Where's and that's when I can give you Vonnie's gifts.
Oh, wow. Ian's going to invite me to something.
I don't know what yet, but
even if it's just playing pinball. Over here.
Let's go play Pinball Friday.
You want to play Pinball Friday?
For your birthday.
Oh, that's like... Oh.
I'll even buy you a margarita.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't usually have margaritas when I'm out. I usually do a vodka when I'm out. But I got whatever. It's fine.
We'll figure it out. Let's go play Pinball Friday.
You know, I haven't had a beer in like 3 years, I think.
Really?
I'm just not a beer person anymore.
I haven't had a beer in 3 days.
My palate just totally changed. Like, that's a thing when you get older.
No, it happens. Traeg used to be the big craft beer guy. Mm-hmm. And then about 3 years ago,
rum.
And
rum.
Maybe 4 years ago, but now he's got, like, always beer, or gin and tonics out. And when we were out, we would always drink gin and tonics. And then he started to get into rum. And then, like, 4 or 5 years ago, he bought into it whole hog, built a tiki bar in his garage.
I've seen the tiki bar.
It's
like, what, 3 or 4 years ago?
It's even nicer now. Yeah.
Well, I got invited to Trey's birthday party. How old is Trey? Like, 40? 41?
He looks young. He just turned 30.
He's 30?
He just turned 30.
So he hired you when he was 18?
Yes.
Go to go-getter, Trey is.
Yeah, but no, I get it. Like, his palate has changed completely. I don't know the last time I saw him drink a beer.
And it wasn't like, it's not like I can't drink a beer, but I really don't enjoy it. Like, I'm just like it has to be something like a Corona, where it's like on the lighter side.
I'll make you a Michelada sometime.
I can have like a Stella Artois. Like, that's the range of my palate of drinking, or like a Miller Lite. Like, it's like, it's right in there. There's not a lot I can drink anymore.
So,
and I drank a lot in college. I'm not
drinking.
Would
you drink a Corona if I mixed it with Clamato?
What's Clamato? That sounds familiar. Is that the
zesty clam and tomato juice?
I was
saying
it's tomato juice. I did. Yeah. Okay.
I put shitloads of spices in it, and then you mix.
Do you
it.
Make your own? Do you make your own Bloody Marys or like a burger in it?
I have.
I never got that. That's a meal.
I've never made. I've always been a huge fan of Bloody Marys and micheladas, and that's like those martinis.
Your stomach just growled because we're talking about it?
My stomach's been growling like this for 2 days, even though I've eaten. Vonnie, like yesterday, I had a horrible headache, and I was sitting on the couch, and she was in the kitchen by the fridge and goes, "Was that your stomach?" And I'm like, yes.
The last one in the pocket.
And she's like, you need to eat. And I do eat.
You're going to the gym. Your metabolism's on the rise.
Five pounds down.
In how many weeks? A month?
3 weeks to a month.
You didn't tell me when you started going back to the gym. Why is that? You didn't mention it.
Because I don't like to talk about it.
Why not? I would give you encouragement.
Because it's just,
I encourage people.
It's just a thing I do. And when I don't go to the gym, I work out at home. So if I can't make it to the gym, I have a quick routine I do where I do like 20 crunches or 20 squats, 20 push-ups, 20 crunches, 100 jumping jacks, 20 squats, 20 push-ups, 20 crunches, and then I stretch for like 10 minutes.
What are you, One Punch Man here? You're
trying... Yeah, exactly.
He ran 5 miles a day.
Yeah, I haven't done the 5 miles.
I like
miles.
How One Punch Man really just goes all in on how fucking stupid it is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how did you get so powerful? Well, I did push-ups and squats and I ran. It's like, well, that doesn't make any sense.
Every day.
And then I lost my hair somehow doing that. What else? That show's finally coming back.
It's already out. I heard the second season isn't as good, but I'll watch it.
It's brilliant. I'll make a deal with you. You start going to yoga with Vani on Mondays with me. I'll buy dinner or something. We'll do something.
I don't know if I'll go.
You gotta do yoga. Mats are cheap. They're like $6, $7 for a mat at Home Goods. You know.
All right. I'll contemplate it.
This is big because he didn't stop going to the gym for like 3 years. So this is big news.
Yeah,
or 2 years he stopped.
When I got sick, I didn't go. And then after
you've been fine for like a year now.
Yeah, and then I went once after I like started to feel better, and then I fell off of it. But Vani's actually been very inspirational. She's been keeping up on it. So
that's great. Like, Vani's doing better. She's been great with the yoga.
Yeah, and so like I'll go Wednesday nights. I'll go usually on Friday and then maybe Saturday.
Do you have off on Friday?
Friday is like a... Well, I have off. It's a half day for Vani. It's a day we usually hang out. But we try to go on Fridays, or we go Mondays if we can't do Fridays.
The couples that work out together and lift together stay together.
Yeah.
It's been good. I just go with my ex to the gym, and it worked out.
And I feel great. I feel great afterwards.
She never liked to watch me. I always said, hey, why don't you come in the MMA room, heavy bag stuff, because she used to do taekwondo. I was like, let's work out. And she never liked that. That's how I knew we were growing apart. She didn't want to see me punch a heavy bag, get turned on, hopefully.
Muscular, masculine man.
Yeah, I mean, all sweaty.
Yeah.
See, I have a decent left body shot. Sorry. A lot of things going on in my head.
Yeah.
She's actually moving to Hawaii next week. It's already like 8-9 days away.
Bet you Doug Tenapple would get real hot and bothered watching you on a hobby bag.
Would he?
Yeah, I think so.
Just be like, wipe the sweat away?
Yeah, Doug Tenapple loves a nude male chest.
Does he?
Yeah.
Creator of Earthworm Jim?
Mm-hmm.
He loves it, our pal Doug.
Fuck, oh, he loves...
You've been getting your jabs in this podcast here and there.
Yep.
I don't want to get brigaded again. Hey, fuck it. Career's already ended once. All right, so that's the CU podcast.
That's the end.
And that's just the beginning. So we'll see you in a week. We're going to be at Long Island Retro Gaming Expo August 10th and 11th.
Yep, it is.
So that'll be fun.
Yep.
I'll be there with our pal, Frank Cifaldi.
Oh, yeah, that'll be cool.
Cheap-ass Gamers podcast will be there. Or Cheap-ass Gamers cast. And more will be there, and I'll be in Missouri Game Con August 2nd and 3rd? August 2nd. And then I will be at Too Many Games. I'll be making my return to Too Many Games.
Oh, and my student loan payment is due.
Okay.
According to my email.
So. Too Many Games is going to be, again, in Oaks, PA, June 21st to 23rd. So go to Too Many Games for info there and more information. Okay, that's it. Happy birthday to Pat. If you're listening to this, I like the birthday wishes. I don't need any presents or anything. I'm not saying I get a ton, but if you want to do something for my birthday, I would appreciate it. Maybe you can donate to the World Wildlife Fund. You can do that. So that's what WWF.org there. And then they do great work because our world is fucking crumbling and the animals are the first to suffer. So
World Wildlife Fund, San Diego Zoo, SPCA, all wonderful places.
Well, make it easy. Just go to WWF.org and then you can donate there. I've donated them before. That cat is beautiful there. Look at that fucking jungle kitty there.
And they have adorable. A real cute logo.
And they beat down WWE for the name and for
as they should have.
As they should have, because WWE didn't do enough to differentiate themselves.
Nope.
Anyway. All right, that's all for now. Happy birthday to Pat.